Blog Talk Radio.
Some of the things you didn't know about the Irish and some of the things you don't want to know. Among the birthdays today, political animals, is John C. Calhoun. He was the first vice president to resign. He had a sharp tongue, and he once said of a political opponent, he described him as like a stinking mackerel in the moonlight. It alternately stinks and shines, shines and stinks. And this is applicable to a growing number of public figures, whether they're politicians, priests, nuns, lawyers, judges, media people. It's just incredible that the amount of the lack of integrity and honesty and correcting one's mistakes and acting like they're infallible. Today is also the birthday of Grover Cleveland. He's the only president to be reelected with the second term, but the first term he was defeated for a reelection. Then Benjamin Harrison won that election. Benjamin was the son of William Henry Harrison, the first president to die after the shortest term in office, and also the man, the president who gave the longest, most winded inaugural address. I think it was an hour and 40 minutes, and nobody remembers what he said. And so Grover Cleveland was accused of having fathered an illegitimate child. I think his niece, he got married in the White House, but he was from New York, and the election slogan, and they were really rough in those days, was, "Ma, Ma, where's my pa? He's in the White House. Ha, ha, ha." Here is an audio excerpt, supposedly, of Grover Cleveland, and it's one of the first audio excerpts of a president ever made. It's from our archives.
Upon us. How do you have a
So that's a poor recording, but it's one of the first that's believed to be of a president, that being Grover Cleveland. We're going to play a little music today, music you generally don't hear, about the Irish. They were great, of course, great singers. It's a great musical tradition the Irish have given the world. And I think a lot of Irishmen and even presidents have come from Ireland, whether they were Catholic or not, and also were of a Scotch-Irish ethnic background. We also have the description sometimes used as slurs as Black Irish. Now, Black Irish are supposed to be ethnics who have African heritage and also Irish heritage. And some of the early records of marriage go back to the 17th century, where what they were described as Negroes marrying Irish women. And, of course, that was looked down upon, and especially in such places as Chicago and some of the northern cities. We have the term, Nixon was supposed to be, Baked Irish was the term. That's supposed to be the intermarriage of African or Black with Irish ethnics. Now, Baked Irish is the term... Black Irish is the term given to Irish who have dark hair, dark eyes generally, and kind of a dark complexion. These are supposed to be the survivors of the Spanish Armada, the 15th century naval expedition launched by Philip II, supposed to overthrow Elizabeth I, because she was a bloody Protestant in more ways than one. And the English Navy, with their smaller, better maneuverable ships, was able to destroy or scatter much of the Spanish Armada, which were like heavy galleons, more designed to carry gold that they stole from the New World rather than to fight naval battles in the narrow English Channel. Now, the ships that escaped fled north around the tip of Scotland in the north, and around they were going to circumvent the English Navy, which was waiting for them if the Spanish tried to turn back and to the shorter route to Spain. But the English Navy pursued them, and some of the Spanish ships, because of the storms, it was a bad time of year. The Spanish Armada, the admiral who was supposed to command the Armada, he died suddenly, and so Philip II prevailed upon Medina Sidonia, who was not a sailor, had no naval background, no military background, but he was a good Catholic. And he begged Philip II to not to lay this on him, but Philip II said, "You're ordained by God," and all of that. And it was a disaster for the Spanish. Now, the ships that were damaged when they turned off the northern coast of Scotland and toward Ireland. The English didn't have a big force in Ireland, but the ships that were damaged, some of them had to be scuttled, or not scuttled, or landed on the rocks or whatever. And the sailors had to disembark and try to flee. And the English hunted them down and captured as many of the sailors as possible and killed them. Some were sent to Scotland to be executed or gibbeted. But the aristocracy on those ships were held for ransom. Now, some Spanish sailors escaped, and they were sheltered by the Irish. And they were, what usually happens when sailors meet the natives. They married and cohabited. They were also the common bond was Catholicism, and so among the Black Irish, there were supposed to be descendants of Richard Nixon, among others. But he had some nasty things to say about the Irish, which were caught on the tapes. Now, Baked Irish is the term used for Africans and Blacks who married Irish, and it was used generally as a slur. At our school, we had the Clark family, which were half African ethnic and Irish, good-looking kids, big, a nice family. The girls were gorgeous looking. Now, among the presidents we have who have Irish and Scotch-Irish background is quite a few. We have Buchanan, and a lot of these guys, just about all of them, in fact, all of them were Catholic, were Protestant, except for John Kennedy. We just had Grover Cleveland, Chester Arthur, who supposedly was born in Quebec, Canada, and then moved to Vermont. We had Andrew Johnson, who succeeded Abraham Lincoln. Ulysses S. Grant's maternal grandmother was from Ireland. Chester Arthur, from supposedly from Quebec, but listed from Vermont. Grover Cleveland. We had McKinley. Teddy Roosevelt's one of his grandparents, I think maternal, was from Ireland. Woodrow Wilson, Irish, Scotch-Irish. Richard Nixon. Ronald Reagan was, of course, is Irish. George Bush was supposed to have an Irish ancestor. And if you can believe this, Mr. O, Obama, is supposed to have an Irish ancestor. If that is accurate and true, it would be probably on his mother's side. It certainly wasn't on his African father's side, the Kenyan Obama. Now, this is not known. Cromwell did horrible things to the Irish, and the ones that were transported went to the Bahamas and to an island called Montserrat. Also, blacks were transported there, and they're still there today, and they intermarried. It's a similar thing which happened in Australia. The Irish who were transported, this was a several months ship voyage, horrible conditions. Some of them cohabited with the Aboriginals there. Also in New Zealand, we have a famous opera singer, Kiriti Kanawa. Kanawa. Her father was Maori, and her mother was believed to be Irish. She's very much alive today, and she's going around the world singing. Now, of the Supreme Court justices, we had quite a few who were from Ireland. We had William Paterson. We had Joseph McKenna. Edward White, who was a Catholic, the first Catholic, second Catholic Chief Justice. The first one was from Maryland, and he was involved in the Dred Scott case. We had Reese Butler, Irish. Frank Murphy, who was Attorney General of Michigan. James Byrne, who was brought up a Catholic, was from South Carolina, but he left the Catholic faith. He was also briefly Secretary of State for FDR. We had William Brennan, who was a Catholic from New Jersey, and we have Anthony Kennedy, who was a Catholic from California. So it's quite interesting, the contribution of the Irish and Scotch-Irish. There's just a lot of rich history here that's, you know, it goes beyond corned beef and cabbage and Guinness stout and good Irish whiskey. Now, among the scandals that they're not, some of the things you don't want to know about the Irish or wish you didn't hear about the Irish is a religious group of Roman Catholic nuns called the Magdalens. They set up houses in Ireland to supposedly shelter and help young girls who were either abandoned or who were juvenile delinquents or whose families couldn't afford to keep them. So these nuns had this laundry operation going, and these girls were, in effect, treated worse than indentured slaves and indentured servants. Slaves, not indentured, excuse me. And they were abused, worked long hours. There's a movie about them, and this scandal went on for over 50 years. The Irish government allowed this thing to go on, these abuses, despite complaints to Eamon de Valera, who was a Spanish-Irish Catholic born in New York. And what's happened is we don't know if there's any lesbianism was involved, but these nuns beat these girls, starved them, whipped them, worked them to death. If they escaped, they were in effect shut up on a diet of bread and water for an indeterminate time. And some of these women have survived and are living today, and they're demanding that these nuns be held accountable. Now, I just learned from Patrick Butler that the Magdalens were also here in the United States, and they were working in Chicago. Now, what's very upsetting is we get these politicized nuns who were on 60 Minutes last night, and Bob Simon interviewed them. He asked some good questions. He didn't get into lesbianism, but he did get into some of the politicization and the feminism. And these nuns have Irish ethnicity, and one of them was a lawyer, and I think she lied about, she said she supports Obamacare. She appeared in a partisan gathering at the Democratic National Convention last year and was a speaker pushing Obamacare. Now, as I understand it, that Pope John Paul II, the late Pope, ordered Roman Catholic clergy, priests and nuns and brothers and bishops, not to get out of politics. Now, the most famous case was that of Father Drinan, who was a Jesuit, and he was the dean of Boston College Law School. He was also a representative to the U.S. House of Representatives, and I had met him briefly when I was passing through O'Hare Airport from my special mission to HUD in Washington and the Labor Department in Washington in 1993. And Drinan had to quit Congress because the Pope ordered them out. Now, I understand that these nuns are very political. George Soros is allegedly involved in some of this. And there's a growing question about this, not only the lesbianism, but the politicization that the nuns have supposed to have taken a vow of obedience. And if the Pope ordered them to stay out of politics, then they should be staying out of politics. If they don't want to obey and follow the orders of the Vatican, they should join the Anglicans. The Anglicans do have their nuns, and they are political. Now, we're going to play some more Irish music. One of the favorites is A Long Way to Tipperary, and if you remember the movie Das Boot, they played this when the ship was, the submarine was coming home after being bombed and depth charged. And, of course, they used the Russian, I think the Russian band to play that. But let's hear this, the original version. It's a long way. Let's see. It should be down here. I always have this problem because we've got so many. And I've got to clean up some of this stuff. In the meantime, while we'll play this now, the Irish were also slave owners in the South, and Thomas Mitchell, who was from New Jersey, of Irish ethnicity, here's a clip from Gone with the Wind, and they supposedly were Catholic, and he's talking about the Irish view of land.
There's none of the county can touch you and none of the state. Well, Katie Scarlett O'Hara, so you've been spying on me. And like your sister Sue Ellen, you've been telling your mother on me that I was jumping again.
Oh, boy, you know I'm no tattletale like Sue Ellen. But it does seem to me that after you broke your knee last year jumping that same fence...
I'll not have my own daughter telling me what I shall jump and not jump. It's my own neck, so it is.
All right, Pa, you jump what you please. How are they all over trouble?
The Wilkses? No, in the stew you'd expect with the barbecue tomorrow and talking nothing but war.
About the war. Was there anyone else there?
Oh, their cousin Melanie Hamilton from Atlanta and her brother Charles.
Melanie Hamilton. The pale-faced, mealy-mouthed ninny, and I hate her.
Ashley Wilkes doesn't think so.
Ashley Wilkes couldn't like anyone like her.
What's your interest in Ashley and Miss Melanie?
It's nothing. Let's go into the house, Paul.
Has he been trifling with you? Has he asked you to marry him?
No.
No, nor will he. I had it in strictest confidence from John Wilkes this afternoon. Ashley's going to marry Miss Melanie. It'll be announced tomorrow night at the ball.
I don't believe it.
Here. What are you off to? Scarlett! What are you about?
Have you been making a spectacle of yourself running about after a man who's not in love with you when you might have any of the bucks in the county?
I haven't been running after him. It's a surprise, that's all.
Now, don't be jerking your chin at me. If Ashley wanted to marry you, put me with misgivings, I'd say yes. I want my girl to be happy. Can you not be happy with him?
I would.
But what difference does it make who you marry, so long as he's a southerner and thinks like you? And when I'm gone, I leave Tara to you.
I don't want Tara. Plantations don't mean anything when...
Do you mean to tell me, Katie Scarlett O'Hara, that Tara, that land doesn't mean anything to you? Why, land is the only thing in the world worth working for. Worth fighting for, worth dying for. Because it's the only thing that lasts.
Oh, Paul, you talk like an Irishman.
It's proud I am that I'm Irish. And don't you be forgetting, Missy, that you're half Irish, too. And to anyone with a drop of Irish blood in them, why, the land they live on is like their mother.
Well, that was Thomas Mitchell, great actor. Of course, you heard that brogue. Now, here is the original song version of It's a Long Way to Tipperary.
It's a long way to Tipperary, it's a long way to go. It's a long way to Tipperary, to the sweetest girl I know. Goodbye, Staten Island, farewell to Times Square. It's a long, long way to Tipperary, and my heart's right there. Into New York City came an Irishman one day, to stay with friends from Ireland who had found good work and pay. Singing songs of Dublin, Mayo, Cork and Donegal, young Paddy got nostalgic and he said to one and all, it's a long way to Tipperary, it's a long way to home, it's a long way.
Version of Brian Boru, who was one of the great Irish kings.
Thank you.
several operettas and, of course, a couple of marches, and Boebs in Toyland was one of them. One of the things we'll get into, I didn't get the exact recipe, but marijuana has been offered now as an ingredient in Irish cuisine. We'll find that recipe. This is giving new meaning to pot. We'll end with what is the modern Irish politician's theme song, Politics and Poker.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Hey, Tony, what are you going to do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, what's the time?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Impulse.
Possible straight, possible flush. Nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of jacks, bet up.
Politics and poker, shuffle up the cards and find the joker. Need a game for children, need a game is rough. Decisions, like
who to pick,
how to play, not to bet,
where to call a bluff.
All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Paratrace.
Bet 'em.
Little trade, good as gold.
I'll stay.
Raise your five.
I'll fall.
I'll fold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Fanyachinkovich. I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out. I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen and George is in jail.
Well, that didn't stop. That didn't stop some Irishmen from voting illegally and when they were not citizens. It's Peter Paul Brazzola. We'll be back Wednesday with more of our salute to the Irish, some of the things you didn't know about that ethnic group, and some of the things you don't want to know but need to know. So go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site. I understand that in an Oregon case in January of this year, 2013, a bicyclist was stopped by a policeman. He was stopped for a traffic violation, didn't have a brake light on his bicycle, which is mandatory up there. Yeah, I think the town is Cottage Grove. The bicyclist tried to murder the cop, and so the bicycle is being prosecuted. This is another case where bicyclists are involved in this case, an attempted homicide. We'll have more details on it. We just learned about it today. So go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AmicusVeritas, and I hope all you Irishmen who over-celebrated over the weekend have recovered and are going to try to make the rest of the week productive. It's Peter Paul Brazzola. Good night. Aaron, go brah.